Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual value. Moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined today by Tom Littleton. We like to talk to Tom from time to time with the theme kind of being one of the titles of my book, Religious Trojan Horse. And Tom gives us these religious Trojan horse updates from time to time, things going on within the Protestant or so-called evangelical world. Get my earpiece settled here. Because reality is the leftists are always trying to take over. That's why I wrote the book, Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich, Marxianity. By the way, the Marxianity book came in five pallets of that came in. So those are now going to start being packed up. It'll take us a while to pack up those because of all the many, many orders. 336 pages, Marxianity is. And normally in the first printing, it was $20. And I've been telling you, I wasn't planning on doing a second printing, but so many people wanted the official original copy. So I said, okay, fine, but let's just make it available for $4.99 and educate as many people as we can. So it is available at wvwtv.com/store. They'll be shipped in the order they came in. And so the five pallets are now in, and now they'll pull the labels off, put them on the bubble wrap envelopes, and put the book in there. So our guys are busy. Our high school and college students are busy doing that work that work for us. And so be patient. We're right on schedule, as we've been telling you. Anyone else wants? And by the way, again, the $4.99 rate, we're hoping you'll order quantities and give them away so you can understand the Marxianity, because that's the whole goal of, the left, is to penetrate religion. Remember John D. Rockefeller? He said, I wish you could see the vision as it unfolds before me. I see the church leading the way as it should in all the great movements. I see the church literally establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And, of course, John D. Rockefeller, a leftist, globalist, helped us bring about the Council on Foreign Relations, the United Nations. All they're trying to do is hijack religion. As I said in my keynote presentation in the Ozarks Saturday night, Bella Dodd, the former communist, when she flipped and began to give speeches and warn that the communists are hijacking all the pretty words, all the religious pretty words, they're hijacking those, but those are masking terms. They don't mean the same thing. Folks, these guys are not building the kingdom of God on earth. They're just saying that so you feel guilty for not buying into their social justice, redistribution, dominionism. What they're building is the kingdom of Antichrist. So you need to understand this, and this is one reason why we have Tom on from time to time to explain how the left is continuing to take over the Protestant churches and church denominations. Now, from time to time, I'll stop and talk about what's going on with the Catholic, but I'm not Catholic. So, but I do play clips of people like Archbishop Vigano warning about the leftists and the Marxists and the Jesuits, the Freemasons taking over the Catholic Church. But being that I'm a Protestant, I talk mostly about that. But by the way, I did watch, it took me about a week to get through it. I don't really get the chance to watch stuff very often, consistently, you know, just in one sitting, because I'm always working and my phone rings off the hook, and so I stop. So it could take me a week to get through a 2-hour movie. And I did stop the other day, I finally did finish last night. I finished watching Two Popes. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Two Popes. But man alive, I don't know how accurate that movie is. I have no clue how accurate it is. But I'll tell you this, it sure tried to make Bergoglio, Marxist Jesuit Pope Francis, look like the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread. What a propaganda piece, The Two Popes. So I just wanted to watch it and see what this was all about, because it was popular a while back. So I finally finished that up. It took me a week to get through it, you know, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 30 minutes there. But what a propaganda piece. And you understand why Vigano is warning about Pope Francis. But if you watch the Two Popes, which was a kind of a movie slash documentary, I guess, on how Pope Benedict gives up the papacy to Francis and how he didn't really like Francis at all. And then they come to be these close buddies. I mean, the whole thing make you think Pope Francis is just wonderful. But he is a Jesuit Marxist, okay? So we know that battle's going on in the Catholic Church. I deal primarily with the Protestant Church. And again, that's why I wrote the book, Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Right, Marxianity. Well, one of the things the left wants to do is take down some of the biggest denominations in America. Well, the largest denomination or association in America is the Southern Baptist Convention. We've been warning you about that for a long time. And now here today to talk to you and me about what's going on with the largest Protestant denomination in America, as well as some other things, including Facebook. Facebook now pushing religion. Facebook pushing faith. Again, these guys are so interested in spirituality now. But we know that spirituality is one of the three-legged stools. Big government, big business, and religion. Big government, big business, and spirituality. However you want to say it. And we know that three-legged stool is represented in the global government and the global governance of Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, as represented in Revelation chapter 18. So now we have Facebook is going to start pushing spirituality big time. We'll get to that. But first, let's get to the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination or association, and how the leftists are moving in. Can you imagine the amount of money the Southern Baptist Convention has? You're about to find out. We're talking hundreds of millions. Don't you think the left would love to get their hands on that? I think they would. Joining me now is Tom Littleton, researcher and author Tom Littleton. Tom, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brennan. Great to be with you.
Any comments on my little monologue there?
Well, obviously, we better be awake to the fact that the church is a key piece of the puzzle for cultural Marxists and for the left, and they're full on their efforts to co-opt.
So let's talk about what's happening to the Southern Baptist Convention, for those who don't know. And let me ask you this. Why should people who don't go to a Southern Baptist church care about this topic?
Well, if we see the collapse of the SBC, we're going to see the largest Protestant denomination collapse, and then basically we're going to see the whole ability for conservative Christians to have much of a cultural voice evaporate.
Okay. So tell us what's going on with the SBC. What's happening, Tom?
Back in, I think it was February 2019, we had the Houston Chronicle stepped up and did a report about sex abuse. They called it abuse of faith, and this was supposedly a lot of sex abuse that had been...
Hold on one second. Dalton, is his phone like digitizing? Is he hard to hear? Yeah, maybe talk better into the mic. It's really a little difficult for me to understand you.
Yeah, I'm just getting feedback. Sorry.
Yeah, you're getting feedback. I'm getting feedback in digitization. Let's reconnect with him. We'll hang up, reconnect with you, and then let me know, Dalton, if you would, please, when we've got him reconnected. While we're doing that, and that's the thing about TV and live radio, you always better be ready to go to something else as a filler while that's happening. And I do want to go to something else real quick. Let me run over here real quick, Logan. Give me a thumbs up in there if you can see my screen. All right, go to worldviewreport.com today, folks. Worldviewreport.com. So many articles we're not going to have time to get to. Look at this one. Lifetime welfare and path to citizenship for unvetted Afghans Biden has flown into the U.S. Now, this is coming from a former Trump official, financial official, Stephen Miller. Biden just sent Congress his administration's policy riders, quote riders, for the government funding bill continuing resolution. They include lifetime welfare and path to citizenship for every unvetted Afghan national Biden has randomly flown or will fly into the U.S. and their relatives. And then he provides all the documentation, the screenshots. All right, folks, this should have us pounding the table. This should have us pounding the table. And it really relates to today's topic because the evangelicals in the Southern Baptist Convention, including people like Matt Chandler and others, and many of these neo-Calvinists, have been telling us about how it's our duty to bring all these people to America. You know, this is what Jesus would have us do. Really, Jesus would have us bring unvetted terrorists to America. Because that's what they are. handpicked by the Taliban to come to America. Handpicked to get into the airport, handpicked to get on the planes, handpicked to come to America by the Taliban. We got a MP that was just, stabbed to death over in Great Britain. That was the report. I have that report over at worldviewreport.com. Where is it? Let's see. Somewhere on here, I thought. I have it. But somewhere I've got the fact that we've got an MP over there in Great Britain that was just stabbed to death. Let me go over to frontpagemag.com. I know it's there. Frontpagemag.com. There it is. UK celebrates diversity. Somali Muslim stabs MP to death in a church. All right. So, again, this is the kind of thing you're going to increasingly see coming to America as the Biden administration brings these unvetted folks to America. But now, as you're out working hard today, and you're being a responsible American citizen, working in a productive society, a member of society, and paying your taxes, they're not going to take your hard-earned money. They're going to take the labor, your labor that you're earning from the sweat of your brow, and they're going to give it to people that want to literally murder you. That do not want to assimilate. They hate you. They hate America. They hate Christians. They hate Jews. And Biden is going to bring them to America. He already has. And he's going to give them lifetime welfare and a path to citizenship. Now, folks, this is a foreign invasion. The man sitting in the White House is unduly elected. He is a fraud. He is a criminal. He is a proven criminal. That's my opinion. And I think that's pretty well proven when you look at his family and what they're doing. This man is a criminal. He is un-American. He was put in place as a U.S. senator by the communists through the group called? It'll come to me in a minute. Hang on. The Council for Livability or something like that. It'll come to me in a minute. But this is a group that Al Gore's mom and dad were running. They're a communist front group. Put him into the U.S. Senate, Biden. He's been a traitor to our country from the beginning. Council for a Livable World. I knew it would finally come to me. Council for a Livable World. And now he's bringing a standing foreign army of jihadis to America. And not only are you going to have to deal with this threat, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Now, again, this goes right back to the topic we're covering with Tom Littleton, because there are many of the religious leaders in the Protestant world, not to mention also the Catholic world, that have told us that this is what God would have us to do. So they're not only taking your tax money to do this. Many of you Protestants that are throwing money into your church offering plates that go back a percentage to your national headquarters, you're paying for this twice through your tax. Well, actually, you're paying for it more than that. You're paying for it once with your taxes. You're paying it once, a second time in any money you give to your national headquarters through your church offering plates, and you're paying for it again in the breakdown of the society we live in and the safety and then the diluting of your vote. We're paying for this so many different ways from Sunday. It's not funny. I talked to someone this morning, and they said, I can't believe what's happening to the country. Why are the American people tolerating this? This one topic alone should have people pounding the desk. Joining me again, I hope, is Tom Littleton. Tom, welcome back.
Welcome. Hope that's better.
Yeah, I think that's better. Oh, there's the music for the break. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to get into... He can comment, by the way, on all the illegals, the Southern Baptist Convention, all these other denominations are telling us we need to bring in. And then we're going to get into this huge sex scandal, I guess, inside the SBC. We won't get into details. But how I think this is being set up for the left to take down the Southern Baptist Convention, predominantly in the South, hello, where you have, you know, red states, but then is it also about getting a hold of millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to fund the left? You got to hear this. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House with a freeze-dried food update. In 2020... there was some of the highest demand for freeze-dried food this nation has ever seen. And as a distributor for Mountain House Foods that we use to provide a service to you with, as well as use to help fund our broadcast network, I can tell you in 2020, we tried for months and months to catch up on our back orders. There was such a huge demand. In fact, I'm told that Mountain House went through about 6 months' supply of food in a matter of days. So they were running 24/7 just to try to get caught up. Well, we were doing the same, and it took many, many, many pallet loads coming in to finally get caught up. Well, here we are now in the summer of 2021, and we're caught up. Many people are going back to life as normal, so they think. But do you really think life is going to go back to normal? The odds are overwhelming that this crisis that they created, this crisis that they manufactured, has worked so well to accomplish their goals, of which are many, including the destruction of the free market system, our religious liberty, our ability to assemble, and to put absolute control and fear into people so they could get them to go where they otherwise would never go. My friends, the fall and winter of 2021 and into 2022 could be quite staggering for this nation. There are many threats coming against our nation. We have seen the hacking of the Colonial Gas Pipeline. We have seen the first or second largest distributor of frozen food having their computers hacked into. We have seen many things that cause us to know that there is reason to be concerned about the disruption of the just-in-time inventory that includes the food that shows up at your grocery store. We also know China is buying up land in huge quantities here in America, along with Mr. Bill Gates and others. We know that China owns many of our meatpacking plants. So I'm going to let you know something, and that is this. We are seeing a lull in orders because we now have a lot of people thinking life's going to go back to normal. Well, I would urge you, while there's a lull and while you can get freeze-dried food, to get it. Because I'm rather confident in the coming weeks, we're going to once again be going into fall and winter, and there's going to become a surge of demand for freeze-dried food. I don't know why people want to wait until they need it to get it. Because usually, if everybody is running toward a certain item, there's going to be an issue of supply. So I'm urging you right now, if you want to obtain emergency food, and I believe Mountain House is the best. I've ordered it for my family for many years. I've eaten it since high school. It's the choice of many in the Navy SEALs. If you'd like to order Mountain House food from us, freeze-dried food, it has a 25-year shelf life. I would urge you to do it now while we have the inventory. Not only will you have an issue with inventory, we have inflation, so prices could go up. So I would urge you to order now, as we look to what's coming this fall and winter, because I don't think they're going to let this go. I think we're going to go into another period of time that could be very troubling for our grocery stores and just-in-time inventory. To place your freeze-dried food order, please go to wvwtv.com/store. That's WV, as in Worldview Weekend, wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can call during normal business hours, 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Don't wait until there is a huge demand again and a lack of supplies. Order while you can actually receive it in a timely manner. Thank you. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Now we're going to be joined by Tom Littleton. Tom, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for your patience there.
Yeah, sure thing. No problem.
All right, so you want to comment really quick on what we're talking about and how it also fits with this now breaking news, lifetime welfare and path to citizenship for unvetted Afghans that Biden has flown into the U.S.?
Well, it turns out the SBC itself has an entire gateway for Muslim immigration in Clarkston, Georgia. So it's part of their Send Relief, which is a FEMA operative organization connected to the Homeland Security. So the Baptists are set up to receive grants and actually process Muslim immigrants already in one of their Send Relief centers.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the SBC. Tell us what's going on, because I think this is the left wanting to hijack hundreds of millions of dollars to further their cause and bring down conservative churches in the South, predominantly Southern Baptists, and to paint conservatives in a way that continues this information operation and destruction of religion, Christianity. Because, again, what did Karl Marx say? My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Dethrone God, destroy capitalism. The Frankfurt School said the source of all suffering is Christianity and capitalism. So this will be a this will be a multi-victory for them, painting conservatives in the South, religious people, Christians in the South in a bad way, but then also tearing down this denomination, which theologically is already in the dumpster, but then go ahead and then, I think, be able to get their hands on untold numbers of millions to further the leftist cause. Am I anywhere near the target on that?
Oh, absolutely. What's going on is the brewing of a huge sex scandal since 2019. These date back to about 2002, and these are individual pastors, churches, staffers who have committed some type of sexual abuse, and apparently there's been a lot of cover-up and that people have been moved to new jobs and so forth. So Houston Chronicle broke the story in February of 2019. The denomination responded deep within its political organizations, the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission and others, who are themselves very headed by very progressive people. But nothing really came to the surface until recently. They had the convention in June of this year, and they set forth a task force to be appointed to investigate internally and then bring in outside partners. What's now surfaced, since this task force has been informed within the SBC, they have hired attorneys, and the executive committee has hired new attorneys. And also the task force has hired an organization out of New York to conduct this independent investigation. What is amazing is to see that both the task force attorney and the two new attorney firms with the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention are all deep partners with the LGBTQ lobby and the human rights campaign.
Whoa, wait a minute. Repeat that again, please.
All three of the attorney firms who are new to this sexual abuse investigation, the one firm for the task force and the two firms now representing the executive committee, are all partners with Human Rights Campaign and the LGBT lobby.
Okay, now the Human Rights Campaign, I deal with them in my book, I think Marxianity a little bit. Because this is tell us about the Human Rights Campaign and what they're up to.
Yeah, they're the largest organization that has pushed for marriage equality, the Equality Act, which we know has made it through the Congress again in the House and waiting for the Senate to pick it up. It would then make all of the LGBTQ language or sexual orientation, gender identity part of the civil rights laws and the Civil Rights Act.
That's very crucial. So this Human Rights Campaign is going to push the Equality Act, which again would label LGBTQ as protected by civil rights. So now
right,
we're going to
be the
special...
same as race, basically. Being LGBTQ would be the same as being race.
So we're going to give
a racial minority
the same treatment to LGBTQ as we would someone's race, which again is where does this stop? Because again, someone is born in the people group they are because God ordained that to be the case. We're now giving special legal treatment to people and advantages to people who have chosen to all of a sudden say, okay, now I'm a man, but I wasn't born a girl, or I'm a girl and I was born a man. And all of a sudden now, if you don't want to hire them or you don't want them in your church on staff or as a church member, you know, when people say, oh, well, there'll be protections for the churches. Once this starts rolling out, there won't be. This will all eventually collapse. And if you don't mandate this into your church or your family business, they're going to sue you into oblivion and charge you with crimes.
Yeah, and it really looks like the SBC or whoever is directing them toward these firms and these partners are using this sex abuse scandal as a way to push a future compliance. Even back to the Houston Chronicle article, they noted that the SBC had broken ties with four churches who had changed their position on homosexuality in the last 10 years, and that the SBC does not ordain women or gays into ministry. So there is an underlying push then for a compliance with diversity, equity, and inclusion standards, which all three of these law firms overtly tout as core to their vision. And, you know, they actually sit in this task force law firm that it is actually the pulse The LGBT cause, diversity, equity, and inclusion is the pulse of their law firm. It would be what some would call a lavender law firm. Has lots of LGBT lawsuits, has a lot of LGBT lawyers and practitioners. So this is a huge emphasis, actually hired to help the task force within the Southern Baptist Convention investigate its own internal sex abuse. I mean, the irony here is stifling. But not only are the law firm partners, so is this investigative partner. They describe themselves as a mosaic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're the ones who will draft the outcomes, not only helping settle the lawsuit, but draft the outcomes for compliance.
Wow. Okay, so at the end of the day, what do you think this is all about, and what kind of shakedown will this be dollar-wise?
Well, it's going to be a multi-billion dollar settlement, and I did note that as a result of all of this, that the head of the executive committee in the SBC resigned. In his resignation letter, he pointed out some $702 million in money that came in the last fiscal year into the SBC. So we're looking at them being able to step into billions of dollars that the SBC has in reserve, and then a cash stream of some 700 plus million a year. So there's a lot of money at stake, and we've already seen the large settlements that the Catholic Church has issued, which are precedent setting, you know, for cases and class action suits like this. And it's my understanding the suit has been filed, but it hasn't been made public, and that there will be a big settlement. But the higher cost still would be that the outcomes in the future to ensure that these types of abuses and cover-ups are not repeated would be more women and a representation from gays and other minorities.
So let me go back to the dollar figure. How much money are we talking that the SBC has?
Well, they're saying about $702 million last year that they took in. And there's not a really good accounting for where all that money comes from. You and I know that they are actively engaged at many levels in the faith-based partnership, so they are getting government money. And we know that they took billions in PPP money into churches and ministries, and certainly Southern Baptist ministries got that PPP money. Lots of government money flowing into it.
What about buildings and property around the United States?
Most of those would be in the hands of the individual churches, except for the campuses of, say, the seminaries and the colleges, universities that are affiliated with the Baptist, and then, of course, the headquarters building, the Lifeway building, Lifeway Research. They would have some church camps. We're still talking about probably hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate assets.
And then what about
Guidestone Financial, which is
perfect.
Their huge retirement program, insurance, life insurance, and all that?
That's where I was going next. How much has that group got?
Well, for their retirement group alone, it's my understanding Guidestone has about $20 billion in assets.
$20 billion?
Some have said as many as $100 billion in all of their various investment portfolios.
Wow. Okay, so before we move to the next topic, Facebook pushing faith, the bottom line here is not that we're justifying or saying that people should not be held accountable for sexual abuse, but you're telling me that a lot of this stuff, I'm asking, are you telling me that some of this stuff is going to be trumped up charges? They're going to be politically correct charges of somehow discriminating against, you know, the LGBTQ, the feminist movement? I mean, we're not talking about legitimate cases where churches maybe had a staff person that sexually assaulted a child. That person should be criminally charged. The church should have to pay restitution and whatever else, and many of them have insurance for that. You're talking about something that's completely different. You're talking about manufactured charges largely based on political correctness and then a shakedown. Do I have that correct?
Well, rather than manufactured charges, I would say the handling of the charges would be highly politicized and governed by these human rights campaign partners, because they're going to want this to be portrayed in a certain light that would keep words like homosexual or pedophile out of the mix, that these would just be sex abuse cases. But then on the backside of it, to use this these realities and the beyond the settlement to push a response that would mean more diversity and inclusion of both women and gays in the SBC. So it's an odd, and I know it doesn't make sense to people who are thinking logically, but this is sort of the politicized approach. Well, we can't waste this good crisis so we can further our agenda, plunder the denomination, and we can make sure that the kind of stories we wouldn't want to be on the lead and the surface in this, like pedophilia and homosexuality, those cases would not be what are featured in the press.
Okay, so some of these charges are legit, but they're going to use those to exploit for a bigger agenda, which is basically massive cultural Marxism, political correctness, the LGBT agenda, the feminist agenda, being brought in as part of the settlement. That you
right,
got to prove all
right,
of these,
right. And the future
gotta prove your repentance
changing
by doing all
the
this.
Culture within the SBC would be the way that they would make sure that they comply to these diversity, equity, and inclusion standards. And see, that's the standards these law firms live by. That's the standards that this independent investigator. It would be kind of like hiring the KKK's attorney to investigate racial issues. If that helps, I mean, it's an odd set of lawyers and firms and partners to investigate sex abuse for an organization like the SBC that is said to exist to preach the gospel and to hold to biblical standards.
When they're already pushing the LGBTQ agenda.
Right, right. I mean, they've hired the wrong partners, the wrong firms on the totally opposite end of the spectrum of these concerns. And of course, we've already, you know, seen them bowing to the HRC when they involved themselves with the Southern Baptists and the faith-based partnerships with Human Rights Campaign under the Obama administration.
I want to make sure our audience understands. Are you telling me the law firms have been hired to defend the SBC are law firms known for pushing the LGBTQ agenda?
Exactly.
Okay. So this sounds like a complete setup.
Right.
A takedown.
Yes.
Wow. All right, we come back. Let's get to Facebook. Facebook. We've got a report here from Channel 3 Great Falls, KRTV. Facebook drives engagement through faith groups. Facebook now is going to start pushing faith and religion. What's that all about? You want to know on the other side of the break. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had Melissa Tate in my studio audience. Melissa was raised in Zimbabwe, and she told me a very interesting story while at the news desk. She spoke about the hyperinflation of Zimbabwe. In fact, she referenced her mother, and she said that her mother had, and she gave the number of somewhere, say, around $200,000 in her savings. But under hyperinflation, she said that $200,000 that would have bought a very nice house in Zimbabwe prior to the massive inflation, ended up buying just a bag of groceries. Let me say that again. We have on video someone by the name of Melissa Tate that has seen the ravages of Marxism and socialism and hyperinflation. And she said $200,000 savings account of her mother was relocated to having the purchasing power of buying a bag of groceries. I asked her, who survived that economically? She said those that were invested in hard assets, tangible, real assets. You know what's real money, real assets, real wealth? I'll tell you. Gold, silver, houses, and land. Gold, silver, houses, and land. That's real assets. Gold and silver is a real money. It's a real storing of wealth. And my friends, if you are interested in finding out more about how you can be diversified to protect yourself against the rising inflation in America, and you all know there's rising inflation, the question is, will it turn into hyperinflation? But how about confiscation of your wealth, your hard-earned life savings? We know that there is a war being declared on Christians, conservatives, and constitutionalists. Do you want to legally put some of your assets in a way that allows you to have privacy? Well, you can check into numismatic coins. Numismatic coins, those 1933 and older coins, that gives you privacy. Whether you're talking bullion or older coins, if you want to get educated on precious metals, I urge you to call Swiss America. They have been sponsors of ours for many years. In fact, I'm going to give you the cell phone number of Wes Peters. Wes has become a friend of mine for the last several years, and many of you have met him as he has exhibited at many of our Worldview Weekend conferences. If you would like to get a no-obligation free packet of information, no-obligation free packet of information, you can call or text Wes on his cell phone number at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. You can text him your name, number, and mailing address, and just simply say, hey, I heard about the free packet of information. Here's my information. Send it to me. Or you can call him. Text or call 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. Now, after you get the packet of information, go through it, write down all your questions, and then call him and follow up. Wes is about education. He wants folks to be educated. He believes after they do their own due diligence, have their questions answered, and obtain the education they need, they can make a decision that is best for them. There is no cookie cutter, folks. We don't give financial advice. We give financial education and opinion. You need to do your homework and decide what is best for you. I believe that begins by getting this free packet of information by texting Wes Peters or calling him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. Don't wait until your life savings buys the equivalent of a bag of groceries, as happened in Zimbabwe. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Tonight at 7 o'clock Central for TV, I will have on a former Pfizer employee, not Karen Kingston. This is going to be a gal named Melissa. She was a former Pfizer employee until the last few days, as I understand it. She will be here tonight for 30 minutes. It's going to blow your mind. I am now getting emails and communication with Pfizer employees. Some of them are tied back to the plant, I'm told, in McPherson, Kansas. So this is getting very interesting with what I guess we would classify as whistleblowers. Some of these people are Pfizer employees, and I guess some of this has caused them to be terminated or they've quit. Or I don't know. We'll find out. But this is new information, breaking information. She'll be with me for 30 minutes tonight from 7 to 7:30 p.m. tonight, Central Time, at frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com, wvwtv.com/live. Joining me now is Tom Littleton of 30piecesofsilver.org, 30piecesofsilver.org, right, Tom?
Right.
Okay. Right. Let's talk about Facebook. If we go to a screenshot here, Logan, here is, I guess what is Channel 3 in Great Falls, I guess this is Great Falls, Montana, KRTV. Facebook drives engagement through faith groups. Facebook uses popular religious content to connect with faith communities and keep its platform growing. Now, that's interesting because they seem to shadow ban, block, and deplatform true conservative evangelical Christians that are wanting to apply a Christian worldview to law and science and the borders and immigration. So what kind of faith is Facebook going to be pushing?
Well, obviously everything that they do is interfaith. And so they're looking at all the different faith communities, including Christians, sort of in one big happy family. So this is more in keeping with the global spirituality we see of the UN, certainly not advancing Christian values.
So anything else you want to tell us about Facebook doing this? Any other news?
Well, they're working into you to help you build community for your church. They're springing off of the dependence upon Facebook during the COVID crisis for a lot of churches to put their groups, out, to put, small groups and even put their church services on Facebook so people could have church remotely. So they're spinning off of the popularity of that. They've put together a toolkit with Facebook for Faith, and they've also been pushing the COVID vaccines and protocols and everything through that as well with faith leaders. But this toolkit emphasizes their desire to build community for you. And then, of course, what comes into play immediately is their community standards, which would include signing on to agree to what the kinds of communications that they approve of, which would be governed by their own community standards of hate speech or speaking in a way that would be negative or harmful to another individual or group of individuals. And so once you get into this stage of it, they start applying the Facebook standards and community standards and culture to your independent church group, then they're going to have censoring powers. Now, we had covered that the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission actually accepted a grant from Facebook recently back in September to develop more of these community standards within the Christian church and to provide resources for pastors to apply those and teach them to their churches, basically how your pastor would be telling you how you should operate, you know, on social media. The problem is, by this time, they've become so ingrained in using Facebook as a platform, even for to stream their services or to do prayer groups, prayer guides, Bible studies, and an assortment of community building, quote unquote, efforts. So Facebook is actually seeing the church as a big target monetarily and also a big target for control.
Okay, so how do they see the churches monetarily? By charging them to stream their church services on their platform or what?
Well, just continuing to keep Christian users so they can boost their advertising. And they said that in one of these reports, several Christian posts had been their most popular post of the year last year. Somewhere over 60% of their very popular posts are all Christian or of some type of faith posts. So they're running off their Christians by censoring them. And so that affects their bottom line. So now this is kind of a way to pull the faith groups in and say, oh, we're here for you and we want to serve you and you be able to utilize our platform, yet in the same way through the back door, coming in and giving grants to your ethics arm to teach you how we want you to use our platform.
Any idea what those ethics Facebook is going to set up and then what they're going to be marketing to the churches and pastors as the standards, the Facebook standards for the churches?
Well, the only indication we would have at this point would be that they are providing a toolkit as an outcome. They're going to write several books. They're going to have Christians promoting these ideologies. And then, of course, what we know already of their community standards and how they have censored Christians' concerns about election integrity, COVID, vaccines, that kind of thing. We get an idea that, you know, they have a pretty politically correct stream of thinking that govern their standards within their own culture, and those would then be applied to us. But we don't know specifics yet.
So in conclusion, what it sounds like to me is, as you said, they want to keep their eyeballs up, so keep people on the site. Their popular posts have been religious posts, you say, so they need to keep the religious community there, the faith community there to a degree, but they at the same time, I think, Tom, they want to control them and use the faith community and these standards by which to condition, brainwash, and control the faith community, which is largely the obstacle of the left. So if the faith community has largely been the obstacle of the left, then have the left bring them in, set up the standards and the perimeters, and then start pushing these politically correct standards to them in order to condition the faith community to say, oh, well, you don't want to say that. That's offensive. We want to say that. Because we already have that going on where people feel like they're alone. They're the only one that feels this way. And then when they go into the faith communities on Facebook and they find out that nobody's speaking about the real issues of the day, then that makes them feel even more alone. So I think in one regard, this is a gigantic information operation to control and recast what are acceptable religious standards, and they're going to use Facebook to do it.
Yeah, I would fully agree. And this gives them a lot of leverage to continue to, as you say, to brainwash Christians and to be able to influence their faith and to pull them into more of these social justice causes. The church is really where they want to mobilize the big volunteer armies from, that and the university. So they don't want to lose that opportunity by alienating Christians. They would rather make them think that they're our allies and that they're giving us the tools that we need. But of course, when they talk about building community, it's a form of communitarianism,
yeah,
which we know exactly what that's rooted in. So they want to keep us on the hook. They got to keep us on the bus if they intend to take us where they want us to go in their social justice world.
One listener wants to know, is there any proof that George Soros is funding the Human Rights Campaign?
I'm sure that he has, but there are plenty of other dark players. I haven't ever seen any reports on Soros directly, but Paul Singer is a big funder of the Human Rights Campaign, including the Equality Act, and he's referred to as a vulture capitalist. He's a very dark figure in the political world, pushing LGBT rights. So, and of course, we know that Gates Foundation and others have funded these causes, both directly and indirectly. So,
and Singer,
you know, most of the funding is either very nefarious, dark money coming from foundations, or it's coming from corporations through the exploitation of HRC's Corporate Equality Index.
And Singer's a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
And of course, part of this is going along again to create that victim coalition,
as I write
about in my book, Marxianity, where Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School, who coined that phrase, make love, not war, Herbert Marcuse, you know, said we got to create a coalition of victims, and whether it's the LGBTQ, women, you know, the feminists, minorities, immigrants, we create a coalition, and we say, who are your oppressors? Who's oppressing you? The Christians and the capitalists. So, again, a part of this is with what's going on with back to the SBC or any religious denomination is they are taking maybe what are legitimate cases where someone did something that was wrong and there should be a penalty criminally, civilly as well. But they're using that to exploit, get into these denominations, use that to pressure them to then put in politically correct policies as a way to show their repentance and as part of settlement, grab big dollars. But it also, again, pushes the narrative. Who's the oppressor? Who's the evil people? Who are the, you know, the predators? Oh, yeah, it's those Christians and those capitalists. Correct, Tom?
Yes, absolutely. And no two groups are more key to disrupting the culture than the feminists and the LGBT because they strike at the heart of family, which means, you know, even more than going after the faith community, they go after the centrality of the family and God's plan to raise and disciple children. So, you know, the family is seen as an idol by these two victim groups, the nuclear family, as God established it. So they're not only able to go after our faith, they're after the ability to get very much to the core of how we define family in our culture, parental rights, et cetera.
And when we say feminism, folks, we're not talking equal rights for women, the right to vote, that kind of thing. We're not talking about that. You got to read my book, Grave Influence, and read about Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem and these gals. These people were Marxists. Many of them were known Marxists, Marxist agitators. What they were was anti-family, anti-father, anti-marriage. You know, one of them I talk about, I think it was Betty Friedan, talked about, if it wasn't her, it was one of the other feminists in the book, talked about being, you know, a lesbian before they got married. Then they get married in the breeding years, and they go back to being, what, you know, a lesbian. So many of them are, in fact, some feminists have said to be a true feminist, you must be a lesbian. But there is a total synthesis between feminism and Marxism because they view marriage as a tool of the capitalist for enslavement of the girl, of the lady. So make sure you understand this. The Marxists don't like marriage. Remember, Karl Marx writes in the Communist Manifesto about communal wives. Communal wives. They see the definition of marriage and the confines of sexuality inside the bounds of marriage as rigid and not acceptable. But they also see marriage itself as being an enslavement of women. And it is
I would point out too, Brandon, that they have an entire body of theological belief that has been out for decades from feminist theology that embodies, you know, the various gender theories, homosexual or queer theory, and even the transgender theory that we see emerging now. So they're after toxic masculinity. They're after the established systems that they say are discriminatory. By their very existence and all those who are part of them, especially those toxic masculine men.
And the feminist movement, like the racial issue, is one where you don't want to be perceived as a racist and you don't also want to be perceived as some kind of misogynist or, you know, bigot or, you know, against women. You know, so they can use the feminist thing the same way they use the racism thing to make people be very, very intimidated to stand up for what the real issue is, not what is the masking terms and the camouflage of the issue, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Thank you, Tom. 30piecesofsilver.org, right?
Yes, good to be with you, man. You guys
Thank
take
you,
care.
Brother. Keep it up. All right, he's got to run. We're going to take your calls. Phone line's open, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate all the free radio shows and TV shows that we put out at worldviewradio.com and WVWTV.com? Well, if you do, will you support what we're doing? We have established several years ago Worldview Weekend Foundation. Our mission, well, there's several goals we have, but one of them is to provide people with biblical worldview programming, both radio and television. Now, these programs are free as a service and ministry of WVW Foundation. We could do what many people do, and that is they take their radio shows and their TV shows, and if you don't see them live, they go behind a paywall. In fact, some of them don't even make their shows available to anybody unless you belong to their club and get behind their paywall. We don't do that. We've wanted to make sure that we're offering the broadcast public service of our TV and radio shows to anyone, regardless of whether or not they can support what we're doing financially or not. So as a ministry and public service, WVW Foundation helps to underwrite the expenses of much of the bandwidth that we have to pay for. You see, when you watch a free radio show or TV show, it may be free to you, but it's not free. We incur thousands of dollars a month in paying for bandwidth. In fact, the last time I checked, we're spending $8,000 a month to give away free radio shows and TV shows just through the bandwidth bill. That doesn't count all the other expenses. But our Worldview Weekend Foundation exists in part to help us give away free radio shows and TV shows, and certainly at this crucial time in America and around the world. There's many other things that we do here at WVW Foundation, as you know. But if you appreciate the free radio shows and TV shows, would you make a tax-deductible contribution right now to our organization? You can do that at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com. Foundation.com. You can also call during normal business hours and give over the phone using a credit card, 901-825-0652. That number is 901-825-0652. Again, 901-825-0652. You can also use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, that's WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you for your tax-deductible support of the WVW Foundation so we can make free programming available to everyone. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. And I don't promote it very often, haven't for the last year or two, but remind you that I have thousands and thousands of my radio shows from years gone by, all archived in my VIP club at situationroom.net. All my years of TV shows, ebooks, audiobooks, documentaries, all of that, just years and years and years worth of my work at situationroom.net. So particularly for the new folks who say, you know, as we had at our Ozarks conference, we had a lot of new folks who are like, where have you been and where can I get all of your other stuff from years gone by? Well, a lot of it is archived, the videos, the radio shows, the ebooks, the audiobooks, the documentaries at situationroom.net. If you'd like to join for $9.99 a month, $99 a year, I think it's $125 for 2 years and $199 for 3 years. You'll find all the details at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Before we go to the phone lines, let me show you another article over here at worldviewreport.com where I put up a lot of daily news shows, news articles at worldviewreport.com. Look at this one right here. Loudoun County, that's in Virginia. Prosecutor who sought to jail father of girl allegedly raped at school by a transgender, that's what the case is, tied to Soros. All right? So this goes back to what I was telling you guys earlier. There's going to come a time and a day where you are going to have to resist your local prosecutor and your local grand juries and say, I'm sorry, I'm not complying, and I will not show up at court, I don't care. I will not be there. Because to give credibility to those prosecutors and that kind of grand jury, when that prosecutor is controlled by a globalist, unlawful, globalist piece of trash, like anti-American, like George Soros, by actually walking into the courtroom, in my opinion, you're giving legitimacy to a prosecutor like that who has no legitimacy, who should, in my opinion, be brought up on charges of subversion and treason. We are coming to the point where more Americans are going to have to resist. And resist means you do not comply. You don't comply with a warrant. You don't comply with a search warrant. You don't comply with an arrest warrant. You don't comply with any warrant to appear before a grand jury. When we find out that it is a Marxist prosecutor tied to George Soros or any other of these people tied back to Black Lives Matter and Antifa that are documented to be tied to subversive activities, in my opinion, you do not comply. To do so is to give validity and authenticity to a communist system that is not within the bounds of our legal system in America. It is against the law. So I'm just warning you. This is exactly what I've been trying to tell you. When I saw that story, I thought this is exactly what I've been trying to warn my audience for years. Why would you play the game with that prosecutor? Why would we allow someone tied to George Soros and any of these Marxist prosecutors, county prosecutors, why would we give them, the Bible says give honor to those who are worthy of honor. We do not give them honor. We do not give them legitimacy. When you try to dialogue with these people, all you're doing is giving them legitimacy. But when you try to comply with their legal mandates that are unlawful, unconstitutional, and literally Marxist, taking their political prisoners into custody, you might as well just go on over to Russia and ask Putin to throw you in jail. Because you are surrendering to people that are using the color of the law to imprison and prosecute their political enemies. Why would you comply? Now, we will comply with lawful orders, constitutional orders. We will be lawful. And we will comply with legal and lawful orders and legal and lawful magistrates. But we have no God-given responsibility nor constitutional responsibility to succumb to Marxist prosecutors going after their political enemies and using the color of the law to do it. The American people better wake up. We outnumber these folks and we do not have to comply. And the community, in my opinion, should protect such people. Because the government, after all, is us. A government of the people, by the people, for the people. And the law is simply individuals coming together collectively to defend individual rights. And when a Marxist prosecutor tied back to George Soros is using the power and color of the law to deprive someone of their liberties and freedom, we, the people, the government, the real government, we, the people, should be in between them and the Marxist prosecutors. We do not authorize such action in our name. And you, when you operate, are acting in our name. And we will not tolerate it. You are outside the bounds of law. You are in partnership with lawlessness and subversion and treason. And we, the people, will not allow you to do that in our name, in our office, and within our government. And someone should start thinking about how they organize such people to protect such political prisoners from what they're doing. This is war, and they are using the color of law and offices to persecute, arrest, silence political prisoners, to send the chill to anyone who dares resist the Marxist revolution. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's start out with George in Albany, Illinois. George, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, George.
Yes, that faith book story that you were talking about, it's just a long arm reach of the communist state government. They've used every medium involving trying to get us to do the thing, because eventually that kingdom of Satan will be set up and it will be strong and it will look impossible, but God has a plan of his own.
Thank you, George. Let's go to Dick, line three. Dick in Maryland. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, hi. Brennan?
Hi.
Yeah, listen, I've got just a comment. Everything you're doing is so good today. I think the one spot maybe we haven't injected into this Facebook conversation is Islam.
Yes,
I
let's do that.
I imagine Chrislam being featured in lukewarm Christianity on Facebook, the communities being blended together with Islam, just like you have the Abrahamic family centers being built with mosques and churches and synagogues. I think that's where Facebook will play its role, is a one-world social media to bring all the religions under one-world religion.
You know, Dick, that is so insightful and accurate. Absolutely. Tell me more about the Christian churches, the Jewish synagogues, the mosque, how they're merging together. These so-called faith centers are becoming more and more popular, not only here in America, but around the globe, are they not?
Right. So there's one being built as a real estate project in Abu Dhabi, and they're actually building a new mosque, a new Catholic church. I assume it's Catholic. I'm sure the evangelicals will be able to be in there, and a Jewish synagogue on one piece of real estate.
Wow.
I think that's, and there's going to be a ribbon cutting, and I'm sure Biden and the Pope and the grand Muslim people will be in office. So they're going to use that physically, but I'm suggesting that could, in terms of social media, be something to be paralleled in social media. One Abrahamic family center, one world religion.
Thank you, Dick. Sorry we didn't get to the other calls. Tonight, 7 p.m. Central, a former Pfizer employee. It's going to blow your mind. This is a new guest, first time tonight. Thanks for watching. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brannon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.